Well, good morning, church, and welcome. A little slim here this morning. Oh, that's okay. The Word of God is alive, quick, and powerful, and those who are here are blessed. So anyways, we're going to open up again this morning, and I want to reiterate and bring us back to where we were last week. And I know that so many times when I'm preparing the Word or if I'm studying the Word, I marvel at how the Lord will just kind of, it's like in progression, He'll lead me from one thing to another. And so to go where I want to go this morning, I need to go back and talk a little bit about where I was last week so that you can kind of tie it all together. So if you were here last week, we talked at first about this shaking that's going on, and we took the reference from Hebrews chapter 12. And the shaking, if you look around, even in the natural, you don't even have to be spiritually minded to see that there is a shaking going on, and that in the whole world, things are getting very shaky. And what that means is there's not a lot of stability out there. Like, you know, what used to be a stable thing is now, I mean, everything from your jobs to, you know, there might have been a time where you thought, well, my job is secure. But, you know, all of a sudden you look around and you see people losing their jobs whom you would have never thought that job, you know, could be lost. And so we see this instability, this shaking that's going on in the natural world all around us. So we're living in a very shaky world. Nothing anymore in this world is for sure or stable. And there's one thing that's for sure that we can see that this is causing, and that is that in general, people are fearful, a little bit fearful about the future, whether you are fearful of global warming and where that leaves you, you know, or even your children 10, 15 years from now or 20, whatever the case may be. There's an element of fear that has crept into the world because of this shaking that is very tangible. And so there's everything. There's nothing really for sure. The educational system is changing. Even the definition of the home life is changing. Just everything. I mean, what used to be norm for you and I is no longer the normal anymore. And so you wonder, is it going to go back? Are we going to go back or is this the new normal, you know? And even on TV, I noticed a few new shows that have been advertising the brave new world. And I'm thinking, wow, they're really pushing this new world stuff. And I don't know about you, but doesn't look like a very good thing, a good new world. And so there is no doubt people in general are fearful about their future. And but you know, and I know, and I've taught it and I've preached it so many times, that there is a truth that never changes, and that is that everything in this natural world is subject to change. It's passing away. You know, everything is, and anything in the natural is subject to change, whether it be in the negative or in the positive. So we know that. And having said that, there is only one thing that changes not. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the old covenant, he said, I am, meaning that's his name. I am always, I am. I don't age. I always was. I always will be. I always am. I always will be. So when you think of the great I am, that brings him into the present. He is who he is. So he said, I am the Lord in the old covenant. I change not. And even though the world is changing, even though things are changing, he's the only one that is constant. And, you know, he's not going to change. He's not passing away. So even I believe if the church needs to be strong in our faith, it is today. It is now. Because of all that's going on. And what I'm saying is that there's never been a time, at least in my lifetime, where things have been more shaky, and that we need to trust God even the more. Even the more. And so last week we read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26, 27, and 28. I want us to go back there and reread them, and so we can go on from there and go to where I want to go today. So verse 26 says this: whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also I shake heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth. Now, when the word signifieth mean, what is the word that it's taken from? The word sign. So this word is a sign, okay? So the word that he's going to shake the earth once more is a sign. What is a sign of? That God is removing the things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Now, we just said that anything in the natural is shakable, okay? God is not shakable, okay? He is solid, stable. He changes not. So all of the things that can be shook are being shook up, and the things that cannot be shook will remain. So the word shake in verse 26, where it says that now he is promising once more, I shake not just the earth, but also the heaven. This word shake means to rock to and fro. Okay? So things are starting to topple, right? And the word shaken means to waver or to destroy or to disturb. So God is causing things to waver. He's destroying things. He's disturbing things on the earth. And there is a lot of this going on today in our world. And I said last week, we went back to the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6, where we read that because the apostle Paul wrote, I believe, the book of Hebrews, and he was quoting from when he said this, that once more God is going to shake. He was quoting a scripture that was taken from the Old Testament in Haggai chapter 2. And we went back there to see what this shaking is really referring to. And yes, we know it's shaking in the world and in the natural. But what is this shaking all about? Well, if we read that passage of scripture in Haggai chapter 2, I believe in verse 6, it was stated that he's going to shake the nations. He's going to shake everything that could be shook. And it's all to do with the glory of the church. So this shaking that's going on, it's for the glory of the church. Now, we might not see it that way because we're living in this world. We're subject to seeing everything that's being shook up, and it's even scary and frightful to some of us. But we ought not to be frightened. We ought to see what God is doing through this shaking. It is for the glory of the church. Are we not the church? We are the temple of the living God. And so don't be fearful like the rest of the world at this shaking. Because if your house is built on a strong foundation, who is Jesus Christ, your life is unshakable. Your life is unshakable. Nevertheless, I said last week, even the church is being shaken. And why is this? Because I said there is still too much of our own efforts in our lives. Too much self-effort, really, the Bible defines as self-righteousness. Self-effort. There's too much of that going on. And God knows, because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows the times we're going into. And he wants his bride, his children, to be strong. I mean, supernaturally strong. Not in ourselves, but in him. And so this shaking is to prepare us, is to warn us, is to get us to see. He's shaking off everything in your life that can be shook. And I'll explain more of that later here. But I was pondering this whole thing and the shaking that's been going on. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought me to Matthew chapter 10. Verses 38 and 39. And I want to go there this morning. And so that we can really understand the shaking that is happening and actually not be afraid of this shaking, but actually embrace it because it's like, this is a good thing. So verses 38 and 39. Jesus said this. He said, he that taketh not up his cross, or taketh not his cross, and follows after me, is not worthy of me. Verse 39. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now, those are two passages of Scripture, or a passage of Scripture, because one has directly related. But I know that you and I have heard much. In fact, most Christians stay away from those scriptures because they condemn them. He who does not pick up his cross and follow me, or lay down his life, will lose his life. And so we've heard many interpretations of this passage of Scripture. And many of us in the church, and it's even been taught that way, have interpreted it to mean that you and I, we must give up everything that we enjoy. I mean, put it all down for the sake of Christ. And picking up your cross means that you must endure all suffering and pain that comes along. And in fact, we've even heard the saying from many good people, oh, it's just my cross to bear. Or, I'm suffering for Jesus. Come on, we've heard it. It's just my cross to bear in life. Now, whether that's having a physical disability in your body, it's my cross to bear. Or maybe a child that has a disability. Or so many, anything negative, in other words, when I'm trying to say anything negative in your life that you feel like you cannot change is your cross to bear. Now, that is so wrong. And I believe this interpretation has so robbed the church. And if we really do not understand this scripture and what it really means, in fact, this is part of the shaking. This scripture has everything to do with the shaking that's going on in the church. Anything and everything, I said last week, that is not by the grace of God will not stand. It's coming down. Having a disabled child or an infirmity in your flesh is not given by the grace of God. It was not done by the grace of God. Is that our definition of God's grace? But then you might argue and say, oh, no, it's not. But by the grace of God, I am able to endure. And that's the way the church has looked at this. It's God's grace that enables me to endure this disability or this problem or this. But that is totally contrary to and contradictory to what God's word really teaches. Picking up your cross does not mean giving up all the good things in life. You know, don't watch TV, don't do this, don't do that. And that's why the world, in general, does not want to be a Christian. Because they think of Christianity as having to give everything up, lay down your life, and pick up your cross. And live a mean, miserable life. But that's contradicting. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, that you might have and enjoy. Like, how can you enjoy that kind of life? But yet, I don't know, it's just this fog comes over us when we go to the scriptures. We're all spiritual. We just, I don't know how we interpret things the way we do. Jesus said, I am come that you might have the real life and enjoy life in abundance. So does that sound like an enjoyable life that you got to just put it all down, give all your money away, you know, put everything away that you enjoy, that preoccupies you, whether that's if you enjoy golfing or if you enjoy, I mean, there's a lot of things in this life that we enjoy doing. There's nothing wrong with these things. They're part of the enjoyment of life. They give us relaxation. Actually, a lot of times, it's the times you fellowship with others. You know, when you go golfing, you go out with your buddies, and you have a chance to visit that you might never have, you know, if you didn't do that. So is that really what God is talking about here? So picking up your cross doesn't mean that you give everything up in life, that you enjoy all the good stuff. In fact, the word finds It says, let's back up and let's read again verse 20. Let's read again verse 39. It says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. What does that mean? He that findeth his life shall lose it. The word findeth actually means to see or to perceive. He who sees his life, in other words, he who perceives his natural life as his reality, is going to lose it. That's what it means. If you only see the flesh life as your life, this is as good as it's going to get. What you see, you know, is passing away because it's in the natural. You're going to lose it. But it says, on the flip side, he who loses his life for my sake is going to find it. So it's totally different than what we think it means. What a relief. So he that taketh not up his cross and follows me simply means to see yourself, to see your natural life, or who you are in the natural, as having been crucified with Christ. That's your cross. On that cross, Jesus Christ was crucified. He gave up his life. Now he's asking you, you know what? We have a choice. You could live your natural life if you want to, and live according to your natural life. But you know what? There's a far greater life you can live. But you have to pick up your cross, and you have to see yourself as being, as having been crucified in Christ. The Apostle Paul says it, basically, he's reiterating this scripture when he says in the book of Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's a big difference. You're walking around, you're living, you're breathing, but it's not you that's living, it's Jesus living in you. And that's where God is taking the church in this time of shaking. We are going to see this scripture in a whole new light, because you are going to have to trust going forward that Christ is in you. I can do nothing, but in He can do everything in me. What a relief. What a place of rest. And when it finally flips on in your head, it's like, oh, I could stop having to try. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me and through me. And the life that I am now living in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son, or in the Son of God, who loved me and gave up his life for me. This is the foundation that cannot be shaken. To see yourself, first of all, at the cross as dead in Christ. You died. When he died, you died. Your old life died. The old flesh is done away. And to see yourself alive in his resurrection life. That's your reality. That's who you are today. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now that goes right back to what I said last week about grace. If it's not of grace, it's going to fall. It's on its way out. Whatever is not of grace is not going to stand this shaking. Why is grace so important? Well, we read in Romans chapter 4. It is of faith so that it can be by grace. It can't be by grace under the law, you see. It's of faith. So, there again, it says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because you're not living by faith. You're living by your flesh. Your flesh tells you, you feel pain today. So you say, I'm in pain. I go to the doctor asking what's wrong with me. But if you're living according to the Spirit, you say, no, that pain is a lying symptom. By whose stripes? I am healed. You understand? So the Bible tells us here that if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Why? Because it is impossible to please God without faith. Why? Because it's going to be by grace, not by your efforts. God's grace. This is the covenant of grace. And if we want to partake of this covenant and be partakers, it has to be grace and grace. Verse 9 says, but you're not in the flesh, Romans chapter 8, but you are in the Spirit. So if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit, he is none of his. Now, we know in this church we have the Spirit. We know that because we teach and we have learned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know those of us who pray by the Spirit, how can we be praying by the Spirit if the Spirit is not in us? So I know that I have that strong confidence because I have even a natural evidence that I pray in the Spirit. And so I know I have the Spirit. So I am, the Bible says you are no longer in the flesh anymore. Now you can still choose to live in the flesh, but you know what you're choosing. You're choosing death. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so, but you are not in the flesh, pardon me, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ lives in you, your body is dead. So the life that you live in the flesh is dead. Why? Because of sin. It's under, it's corruption. It's corrupted. It's on its way out. It's dying. It's passing away. That's what that means. But the Spirit on the inside of you is life because of righteousness. You are now forgiven, totally forgiven. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Your Spirit has been brought back to life. So that life that is within you is what you live by. And it and the life in you is greater than the law of sin and death. And it manifests itself in your flesh, even in your flesh body. Because if you continue to read chapter 8, it says that the Spirit that dwells in you will quicken that dead body by the Spirit that's in you. That means, quicken means bring alive, bring to life. In other words, you can live a totally different life than the rest of the world, who is doing all the worldly things in order to obtain life. And then finally it gets to a place where they just give up because it's overwhelming. It's like age is catching up with them no matter how badly you try to push it down. And so what God is doing in the church is shaking that off of us. It's like, stop trying to do or be something in the flesh. Give it to me. It is impossible. I mean, you can hang on for so long, but then all of a sudden you just got to give it all up and say, it's either going to be by you, God, or it's not going to be. But that's where God wants us to get to a place where I cannot do this anymore. I might have been able to, you know, wing it in the past and fake it till you make it kind of thing, but I can't go there anymore. I can't do it anymore. And that's what God is doing in us. He's bringing us to that place of humility and submission and yieldedness. But don't get me wrong, it's not a bad place to be. It's almost a relief to be able to give it all up. Say, God, I just can't do this anymore. And I know it really is believe only. And Jesus will manifest. He's wanted to live through you since you got saved. That might be in my life 40 years ago. And I prevent him from really living his life in me and through me in every way. Because I still am too strong. I can do that. And we don't realize we're pushing him out. But it's when you get to that place where I'm done, Lord, I can't do a thing. When you are weak, then is he strong. And you will be living a life, a supernatural life that you had never even thought. And that's why he says the latter house, the later house is going to be, there's going to be so much glory. Why? Because I believe after this shaking, and when this shaking, he's shaking off all the things of the flesh until there's nothing left but him. And then you watch the glory of the Lord shine through our lives. But we don't realize we're still far too dependent on who we are, what we can do. We don't even know it. And God's let us go slip through with that. But the time is coming where it's not going to pass anymore. We're coming up to some really, I believe, some tough days in the future. But not tough days for the church, because we are going to shine, because we have learned to yield it all and let the Holy Spirit work through us, live truly, do it in us. Give up whatever we think we can do. I don't care what area it is of your life. I know that's what the Holy Spirit's been working on in me, is like, just let it go and let it be. And yesterday was a good example of that. I had to stand strong in that. It was very difficult for me yesterday. I'm not going to get into any personal reasons, but it was. And so the day before, and I believe that's where this message even came from, the Lord showed me specifically, you have got to let it go and let me do it. And so it's an understanding of that in a whole new way. And it's almost like a relief. Because you know how when you're facing something in life that you are nervous about and you just can't wait till it's over, it's like, oh, this is awful. It's just, and then stress and the worry. And you got to get to that place where God says, give it to me. Just rest. I'll do it. And to really, really know that he is really, truly going to do it. And then it lifts it up and you just get that light. It's like, oh, my God. I am so glad I don't have to do this. You know, it's like somebody taking a burden off of you. And that's what God wants all his church to live in, to live the life of Christ, not to be burdened down with the cares of this world. Verse 39 of Matthew chapter 10, he that findeth his life shall lose it. So like I said earlier, the word findeth means to perceive, to see your natural life as your reality. So it's really all about how you see you, how you see your life. Is your life your reality of who you are? If it is, in most cases, let's face it, we might put on a good front, but what goes on in your mind when you're all alone, and it's you and you, you and your own thoughts. And I know if those thoughts are my thoughts, we all have the same flesh body, same negative thoughts come into my mind and come into your mind, and maybe even more so. We can't judge one another by appearances, because like I say, we are all good at faking it till we make it. But what really is going on in the heart? And that is really how you see your life. And so Jesus wants you to give that all to him. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how you see yourself. What only matters is how, is if we can see ourselves as his life, as being in him. But we spend far too much time looking at our weaknesses, looking at our failures and our faults. And then we live accordingly. And God is shaking that off of the church. We're going to look at the life of Jesus, and I'm going to say, that's my life. That's what I can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It has nothing to do with me. I just ask him to do it in me and through me. Every day, we need to practice this life. You know, I don't care if you're going to just simply go visit a friend. You've got to know that when you're there, he's in you. It's you. It's him in you that's going to say the right words, that's going to give the right advice, or that's going to, you know what I'm saying? We only use Jesus when we feel like it's a really tough situation. But he wants you to practice it every day. It's not me. It's Christ in me. So, Lord, speak through me. Think through my mind. Show me things. Help me to be at the right time, at the right place. You know, and it's such a stressless way of living. Because wherever you go, whatever you do, you know it's not you, it's him in you. And like I say, that is going to take on a whole new meaning in the body of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives through me, by me. No wonder it's an abundance of life that he's promised us. So it's how you see your life. It's how you see yourself or what you are in the flesh. To lay down your life is to see your life no longer as you are in the flesh, but who you are in Christ. That's what it means. He who lays down his life will find it. And when you and I do that, guess what? We find life. A life that we never knew, dreamt possible. A supernatural life. Beyond anything that we could have ever attained in the flesh. What a privilege to be able to live his life. And last week we shared on how the partaking, Jesus even said, this is my body. Eat it. Take it and eat it. It is life. What a privilege to be able to live this life, to partake of this life every day in the community. What kind of life did Jesus have? Does he have? I mean, full, no doubt, full of energy, vitality, youthfulness. I mean, how we struggle as girls, especially myself, I'm getting up there, to retain youthfulness. And Jesus is saying, let it go. It's not going to work. You can only put so much, what do you call that stuff, into your skin? Botox. Sorry. And after a while, this Botox bites you back, and you look kind of almost scary looking. Just look how we fight to retain youthfulness. We fight to retain things in this life, but everything's passing away, and it's like you're losing breath. And Jesus is saying, I got a much better way. Let me live. Let me be your life. And you'll never lose any of those things because I am. I change not. I am always youthful. I'm always healthy. I am always full of vitality or whatever it is you need. And so when we see it as that, it's, you know what? And you just, we're not going to get anything, how could I say? It's not going to be on purpose anymore. All of a sudden, these things will begin to just shine in your life effortlessly. It's when you don't know you're shining that you're actually shining. It's when you're not aware of it. And others will see that glory on your life. But you're just enjoying life. Why? Because you have his life to live, not yours. I'm giving mine up. I don't want to live my life anymore. That's too hard. I want to live his life. And so it's a simple thing. And like I say, this is not a down or condemning sermon. But it ought to give us new hope and new, like, wow, I need to really get the revelation of what it means to be crucified in Christ and to allow Christ to live in me and through me in every area of my life. This is the rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all of ye who are heavy laden, heavy burdened. What is the burden? It's just this thing called life. It's stressful. We're not perfect in any way, whether it's physically, mentally, whatever. And so we can't, if we're not perfect, we don't have a perfect life. And if we're trying to get to that perfection, because everybody in this world wants to have a good life. And so we try in the natural to do all kinds of things to add to our life. But it's hard. It's stressful. And Jesus say, let that go. Come unto me, you that are burdened, you that are laboring for this life. I'll rest you. I'll give you my life. I'll give you my life. It's easy. God, my yoke is easy. It is. But we, of course, the enemy has gotten in and made it sound like this is a really hard thing for us to do. Give up my life. No. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. It's a relief to give up your life at the end of the day. And to know as you're going, like even yesterday, traveling with this big group that we're going to be in. It was a relief to know that I don't got to worry about the coronavirus. I didn't have to worry about putting the big cone on and sanitizing my hands all day. Why? Because I am as he is. No evil will befall me nor any plague come nigh my dwelling. Why? Because the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his life in me. And so nothing can touch that life in me. least of all with coronavirus. You understand what I'm saying? So in every way, where fear and where you, by your own efforts, would try to do something, it's like you need to say, oh, I don't need that. I don't need to do that. Unless the Holy Spirit, of course, leads you to do something. But on the average, you just give it to him. I'm so glad that when I put this anointing oil on, I am completely protected. That's allowing Jesus to live his life in you. And you just enjoy. You're not worried. You're not concerned. Just enjoy. So that is what this shaking is all about. And all of the things that can be shook are the things that are man-made by man's efforts. And there's lots of those things, like I said last week, even in the church, that God wants them gone. God wants you to completely be reliant on him. I don't care how talented you are, how gifted you think you are, and how far that gift is going to take you. It's going to be by his grace where it's coming down. That's why it says it has to be by faith. Because faith only works by God's grace. So like I said, laying down your life is a great move. Come unto me, all you who labor, and I will rest in you. Coming to a place in our lives when we are completely yielded to his life and to his spirit. And don't worry about trying to fix things anymore. Because when you begin to heal and his life begins to take over, those things will all be fixed without your effort. And you're going to look back and say, whoa, what happened to that problem? All of a sudden it was just, you know, it just fell off of you like dry leaves off a tree. It's not because of your effort. It was by the grace of God. But the grace of God works through you in you when you yield. When you yield that life. I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. That's why the Bible tells us that our real life is hidden with God in Christ. And we are to dwell in that secret place and say from that place, you are my refuge. You are my safety and my protection. You are my strength. I'm just hiding in you. You know, my life is gone. You are now my life. And that's a picture of us in Christ and Christ in us. So you remain in Christ and people remain in you. He live his life through you. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. And so I just pray that we're all in this together. God is not just shaking things up in my life, but I believe in every one of his children's lives for our good. And I know he's bringing us to a place where we are going to shine with the glory of the Lord. We're going to finally come to a place where we learn that, oh my goodness, this has been available to me the whole time. And I've been trying to do it on my own. And it's been frustrating. It's not been very fruitful. You know, and it's hard and it's tiring until the point where it's like, you just get weak and give up. But when Christ is living his life through you, you're not going to weaken. You're going to get stronger. And you're going to see the glory. You're going to see healing flow like never before. You're going to see, you know, I believe that was the secret to the early church. They knew how to let Christ live in them. They knew that living their own lives was a dead end. It leads to nothing but more death and more frustration. But if you can finally come to the place where you can say, Christ in me, it's not me, but it's Christ in me. And the life that I'm now living, he's living in me. Amen? We'll just close with communion this morning.